Hello, it's Alice Arnold here. Welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast. This is the last in our summer series. We'll be back, though, with lots more news and theatre gossip and interviews in the autumn. But for the last of our series, well, we've saved one of the best. It's the star who is taking over as Roxy in Chicago. It's Alexandra Burke. So I'm in the... What bar is this? Welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast. Not that we're generally in a bar, but this is a bar in a theatre.
Yes.
We haven't just gone to a pub.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to be in a pub. The weather is nice for it, but no, we're working.
We're working. I'm sitting with Alexandra Burke. The Alexandra Burke. I've bought Alexandra, of course, as regular listeners to the podcast will know, a little present.
That's for me.
It's for you.
Oh, you're so kind.
There's two little cupcakes in there.
Can I open it now?
Yes, you can open it.
Oh my God, I love you!
You can open it.
Oh, and I'm so loving that I'm going to share this with my manager who's sitting over there in the corner.
You see how different from.
Oh, look!
How lovely.
You're so sweet.
What lovely to have.
Cupcakes. That's so much.
Well, good. The last time I gave cupcakes to a cast member, I gave them to him and the fellow cast member, and he said he wasn't going to tell her about them. And you've immediately said, I'm going to share with that. You see?
Yeah.
And that shows the difference between you. Alexandra is a sharer.
Yes.
Yes. Alexandra.
Sharing is caring.
Yes.
Yeah. As they always say, you know?
I mean, I don't need to say this, winner of the X Factor, Strictly Come Dancing, massive hit singles, massive studio recording career that hits all over the place. Now taking over as Roxy Hart in the musical Chicago. So... we're going to go back because you've done a few musicals now.
Yes, yes.
When did that idea happen that you thought, hang on, recording career, stage musicals?
Right. So the idea came about, wasn't my idea. Back in 2012, when I got offered Bodyguard before it opened, and I just wasn't ready. No way, Jose, was I trying to do Whitney Houston and do it well. And I just wasn't in, I think I was like maybe 23, 22, 23, got offered this amazing role. You know, it's West End, Simon Cowell goes, you should take it. And I go, no, I want to sing. So that got washed under the water. Okay. And then Heather Headley opened it up. So there we go. I missed that opportunity. And then 2014, it comes back again. This point now, I'm living in New York. So I packed up, lived in New York for 18 months. And then I get a call. Alex, we have the Bodyguard, they're about to close. It's 3 months left. They want you to finish the last 3 months. Before that, I got offered Memphis, but because they moved the date, I couldn't do Memphis at the Shaftesbury Avenue, Shaftesbury Theatre, I think it's called. Yeah, Shaftesbury, anyway. So couldn't do that, and then got offered the Bodyguard. And then my mum said, if you turn this down now, you're a fool. So she goes, okay. Get on that flight, you get home, and come and meet these producers again. And you're doing this role. This is the role for you. So off I go. And you never not listen to your mother. So of course I book a flight. I come straight back home. And then all of a sudden I found myself in rehearsal. I found myself having acting lessons. And then bam, I opened up at the Adelphi last 3 months and never took a show off. Second night when I wanted to take a show off because I thought I had no voice and did not know how to... I mean, my mum always taught me how to preserve my voice, but never... did it occur to me to really listen at one point because they'd done the first show and all I wanted to do was talk and be with my family. And who walks in? Dionne Warwick.
What, for the second show?
For the second show.
The one you thought you had no voice
yes,
for.
Yes, and you know Whitney Houston, that's her cousin.
Yes. Ooh.
So she walks in with 10 other people and then I get to meet her backstage and she's like, you remind me of Whitney. I had to come and see you. I've heard so much about you, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm friendly now with Dionne still to this day. And then Sir Tom Jones comes to see me in the performance. Like, you name it, people were coming. And I didn't know these people were in the audience. And then all of a sudden they're backstage in my little room at the Adelphi Theatre. And my life changed. Done Bodyguard for 2 years. Went on tour, took it on tour. 5 days break in between. Sister act for a year and a half. No days off, straight into Strictly. Strictly tour, straight into rehearsals for Chess, record an album, release a single.
How have you done that with all the time?
There's no break. There's been no break at all. Straight into Chicago now, after seeing Brandy do it 3 years ago and saying to my now fiancé, going, one day that's going to be me.
See, that was going to be a question. And had you always thought, I want to do Chicago?
But I didn't realise it was going to come about.
Because we talked to Martin Kemp a while ago, and he said 10 years ago he'd wanted to do it.
There we
but
go.
It didn't work out timing-wise, and then the opportunity came for this time.
How it's like, yes, come around. Yeah, see? And it's been a role because of Brandy. It's been a role that I've always wanted to do. I've always, of course, known how iconic this show is, how iconic playing Mama is, Velma, Roxy. It's iconic roles, massive roles. Billy Flynn is a massive role, do you know what I mean? But never in my wildest dreams did I think I was actually going to get it. And then here we are. And I'm opening in a week. So that's crazy to me. It's just been, it's been nonstop, if I'm completely honest with you. And I don't know how it's, I don't know how we're here. I don't know how we're here.
I think we do, because you see, you've got amazing energy.
Oh, thank
just
you.
Just sitting talking to you. You are so energetic.
Oh, no, sometimes too much for people.
No, that's how you're doing this. So you see, really successful people do have this energy about them. It's why I'm here and you're sitting there.
No, well, hey, don't say things like that.
I like to be asleep on the sofa,
mainly. Do you like to be quite zen?
I like to be asleep, if I can.
I can be quite zen. I can, I really can, but you've really got to get me to a tired point. Like yesterday, Jess and I, my manager, we was both really zen. It went to a point where we was texting each other on WhatsApp, landed from a gig, and 3 hours later we both napped and checked our phone, and we were like, oh God, we was in the middle of a conversation and we've just gone to bed in the middle of the day. So tired. I could be zen.
I'm glad to hear that you nap. That makes me feel better.
I do nap. Yeah. I try my best to. Because it helps me save my voice if I'm napping.
Yeah. Now, you see, there's all this dancing, obviously, in Chicago. And let's talk about Strictly just for a minute. Now, you had danced all your life, but not done ballroom and Latin.
No,
but
never.
But do you think that Strictly training helped you for the... Because it's very specific choreography in Chicago, isn't
it? Yes, it is.
The Fosse choreography.
Yes.
Do you think that helped you in terms of learning routines, in learning style, in learning...
The Fosse style, I tell you why it really helped with this, because... When we were doing the tour, Craig Dunn, he was a choreographer for the tour, and along with Jason and director of the tour and stuff like that, and he put together a Fosse montage piece. And Joe McFadden and I had to do a Fosse style thing. Mm-hmm. And little did I know, Craig River Horwood was prepping me for Chicago. And I didn't even know I was doing it at the time. Do you know what I mean? I only found out literally few days before we started rehearsals that I got the role. So I would definitely say Strictly has helped me prepare for this show without even realizing. I've always been able to pick up dance routines quickly anyway. I'm very fast at doing that, but I'm definitely faster now.
Yeah.
I picked up four or five routines last week and like that.
It's a muscle memory and a brain memory.
Yeah. And I've danced since I was 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And I'm not trained in it, but I bloody well know how to pick it up, and I'm quite proud of that, because I would think, the older I'm getting, because I'm 30 this month, by the way, guys, yeah, I will give the address to send presents, no problem. I'm joking, but I would think the older I'm getting, I'm thinking to myself, I want to slow down, and actually the older I'm getting, there's more energy I'm getting, it's the more I'm wanting to work even more, and the more I'm going, I don't want to stop, I want to keep going, to the point where my dad, even on Friday, just said to me, when are you going to think about kids? And I looked at him and went, oh honey, I'm so young. And he went, but you're going to get old soon. I'm like, no, I'm young.
No, you're
I'm
young.
I'm young at heart.
Believe me, you're young.
Yeah, and if Halle Berry can have her first one at 40, why can't I?
Absolutely. Now, Strictly was sort of, it was a mixed experience for you, wasn't it? Because you did really, really well. But there was all that social media
stuff in the press and blah, blah,
which,
blah.
Yep. And you are a strong woman.
And you
fight for that. And I think it was interesting to see that you talked honestly about it.
Yes.
And the real downsides of social media.
Absolutely.
Which are huge. And I think there, you know, you took that time to say, to call it out and say, actually, you know, this stuff, it hurts.
It does
and
hurt.
And it's horrible.
Yeah,
and
it
people
is.
Think that none of it does hurt. It
I know.
Does hurt.
And the thing is, for me, I'll be honest with you, the only reason why I'm actually on Twitter, Instagram, things like that, purely for people to get to know me. So when you, because I'm, you know, doing Strictly was fun. I was going through a very difficult time personally. And even a year later, still am. But I don't allow anything that I go through to define me. And whatever press wants to throw at me and go make up rumours about me throwing chairs, apparently, and doing all these kind of things when I was in a physio room and being, you know, treated for an injury. And one day, apparently, I was in a green room and I actually wasn't physically in there. Lies happen, and it comes with the job. It comes with what I've asked for. This is my dream. But it doesn't come, you know, with icing on the top and sugar on the top, and you think it's all sweet and dandy. The problem with social media is you have to take it with thick skin. And I've learned that over the years. It's been 10 years nearly that I've won the X Factor. And believe you me, if I'd done Strictly 10 years ago, I probably would have quit week one. Because the strength I've got now, I didn't have at 19, 20. Not at all.
It was Ellen DeGeneres who said that the more successful you become, the more people will love you and hate you for exactly the same reasons.
There we go. Absolutely.
And I thought that was actually a really interesting thing because the people that will say, oh, you're overconfident,
you're too loud, or you're too energetic, or whatever.
Not confident enough, whatever it is.
It doesn't matter.
It's people.
And that's why I just want to be myself, and I'm always myself, and I'm just... And the thing is, if I'm having a bad day, which is extremely rare, I just go quiet. I'm very quiet. And if something's wrong, I go into a very quiet space. And Jess knows, my man Jess sitting in the corner, she knows that when I'm quiet, something's definitely wrong. The one thing people I feel like sometimes they expect of me is that if I'm angry or upset, there's this diva tantrum that comes out because I get called diva all the time. But it's only because I speak about how I feel, you know, and I'm not ever abrupt with it. But for example, when going through a tough time in Strictly, I kept quiet for 11 weeks. That was a long time to take that and keep quiet. And I'll never forget when I sat at my kitchen table and I said to my brother, I have to say something. I have to do it now. I've got to say something right now because it's mentally hurting me. My heart feels... You know when you get that physical pain in your chest? I felt like that's how I felt. I felt like my heart was breaking by not being honest enough and going... The moment you put on a face and a mask and you go to everyone, oh, no, I'm fine. It's great. I can take all that. You're lying. You're human. I'm human. It was hurting. It was killing me. And the day that I said, stop it because it's hurting me, is the day that so many people came out the woodwork and went... Leave her alone. She's just doing her job. She's just living her dream. She's having a great time on Strictly. Don't make it sour for her. And it was so nice to feel that love and that energy come back at me.
Well, you feel the support from other people who get on the backs of those people who
are
attacking you.
Yeah, they were supporting me without tweeting about it.
Yes.
And in the moment that I read it, I went, oh my God, there's so much love out there. So it made me realise actually there was more love than anything out there. And it didn't take over the fact that I had a great experience. Do you know what I mean? Strictly, you can make it what it is for you. You can either get caught up in the pressure of learning a new routine every single week and going, oh God, I can't do it. Or you can take it all in. And if you make a mistake, you're only human. You've got a week to learn it. Well, just under a week. Got just under a week to learn it, but you can do it. And if you've got a good partner, a good pro with you, guiding you along the way, you can absolutely achieve something that you've always wanted to achieve. My mum was never able to afford for me to go to Latin and ballroom dance classes. I always wanted to go to Sylvia Young. It was never part of my life. It was never a part of my life. And I know Sylvia now personally. She's amazing. And her school is incredible. But I could never afford to go there when I was younger. So I never got to learn Latin ballroom. And I never got to do musical theatre training ever because we could not afford it. Simply could not afford it. But I want to be that person that shows people you can go to a normal school. I went to EGA, a normal school, normal girls' school. I worked extremely hard. I'd done every after-school club there was out there. And then even after the after-school club, I went to a club on Upper Street in Islington that I went to after-school hours and learned acting, singing, and dancing and used my pocket money to do that and get myself home, wake up at 5 a.m. and do my homework so my mum didn't have to be in my ear. And I'd done that every single day. And on weekends, I'd sit there in the pub while she was singing, entertaining people, and I'm learning what she's doing. And that was me as a child because she could not afford to send me away. So if I can do it, anyone can. Anyone absolutely can.
That's the energy I'm
talking
about.
There we go. And I remember it.
It's phenomenal.
I remember it. My mum didn't make those sacrifices for no reason. And that's what I always say to my family. She sacrificed so much for us that I, in my heart, I have no option but to be working and but to do her proud.
Tell me about chess, because we went into, as you reeled off this thing, your list of things without a gap. How was that doing chess, the sort of concert at the NO?
I mean, it was incredible. And, you know, not in my wildest dreams did I think that I'd be able to have that opportunity. So let's just keep it very real. Never heard of chess when I got offered it. It was around 32 years ago. I wasn't even born. They added a song for me, which was lovely. And when I spoke to the director, I was doing some research about it and I kept going, I'm trying to look, you know, for inspiration online. And he was like, well, you're not really going to find too much unless you listen to the original. So I was like, okay. And then he said to me, do you realise you're the first black woman to play this role? And I went, ah, me? So why do you want me then? He went, because I think you can execute this role. I don't see colour.
No, quite right.
And I honest mean, to God.
When you said that, I was surprised. I was thinking like, well, yeah. I don't see the role as either black or white. It's a role.
But he just went, you wouldn't find that kind of... You wouldn't find a black woman in that era, that age, in Russia. When you think about all the facts, you go, actually, no, you wouldn't. And he goes, and I don't care. If you can sing the songs and you can make it believable and act it out, I don't care who plays this role. I just thought, what a lovely man. Because I'd never thought about it like that. And to play that role at the Coliseum with a 50-piece orchestra, with the E&O chorus, you have to pinch yourself. With Michael Ball, come on. And Michael and I are dear friends, but to have that opportunity in a very short career in theatre, I mean, I'm only starting out really. I know I've done a few roles, but you think about what people have done. I'm still at the beginning of my career in theatre. And I just was so thankful for the opportunity because it's so well respected. And I'll never forget when I had a little coffee with Sir Tim Rice. He was buying a coffee when we was in rehearsals, and he turned to me and he went to me, by the way, you have the best songs. I thought, great, thanks for that pressure. I really appreciate you pressurizing me right now. And he went, no, I'm just being serious. You have the best songs in the whole show. You have the best songs. Mm-hmm. And then the day that we done, I'll give you this little story about Benny. We were doing the press night for Chess, and we had, of course, the previews a few days before. And I was outside signing autographs, and I feel this tap on my shoulder, and it's Benny. Gives me a massive hug, and he says in my ear, I need to see you tomorrow. So I was like, okay, am I fired? He goes, no, you're not fired. I was like, okay, cool. And he goes, just be ready for 5:00. So I was like, I'll be in at 3:00, so just knock on my door. So he knocks on the door about 5:15, and there's Lawrence director, Benny from ABBA, and the MD, John. And he goes, I just want to take you to a private room. I just want to go through some stuff with you. So he goes, okay, I go, okay, fine. So we walk up to a room, and he says, if you do it how you done it last night, I'll be happy. But I want everyone to follow you. And I went, it's not what I've been taught. It's not what we've rehearsed. It's not what we've done with previews. Can't change it now on press night. This is when we get reviewed. And he went, no, I just want everyone to follow you. How about we sing the song? So I literally just went, oh, okay, yeah. And an hour and a half before we open, no problem. Yeah, let's just sing the hardest song in the show. So off I go, start singing, and then he just goes to me, I just want everyone to follow you. The orchestra will follow you. Close your eyes and just sing. So I done it, and he went, if you do it like that, that's what makes me a happy man. And I went, okay, I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to sing. And that's exactly what I done.
Did he play the piano?
No, he played in our little session, he did. Yeah,
yes, that's what I meant. Piano. So it was him playing the piano and you singing in this little room.
And it never got recorded because I was like, and I remember in that moment going, I wish there was a camera or a fly on the wall because this will never happen again. Like, I'm never going to get this opportunity back. And, you know, it was just amazing because he believed in me enough to basically run with the wolves and just do whatever I felt on stage. He went, I want all of your soul. Because everything that you put into your own music with your heart and your soul, put it into this that I've written.
Wow.
I just went, okay, fine.
That's amazing. I mean, it must have been an amazing experience to be in that room with him as well.
And the opportunity for him to allow me to be free, that doesn't happen often.
Yeah. So, as you've said, this is the beginning of your musical theatre career.
Yeah, it really is. I've only done a couple of shows.
You're in Chicago until October.
Yes.
If you could, do you have a dream part that you would like to play in musical theatre?
Well, this one definitely was a dream part. And 3 years I've waited to try and do it, and now we're here, so ticked one off the list. Right, Donna Summer would be amazing. That's currently on in Broadway. I'd love to bring it here.
Ah, well, that's a possibility then, isn't it?
I mean, who knows? I've put the feelers out. If it comes over here, I will knock down everyone to be the first in that line to be auditioned for it. That's definitely a dream role because my mum always said to me, and I forget when we were both listening to Donna Summer, she went, you could play her life story. And I looked at her and went, yeah, whatever, mum, I would never be able to do that. And she went, no, Alex, I really believe that this will happen for you one day. And the fact that then it opened on Broadway.
This sounds like sort of fate.
Who knows?
I think.
But my mum always said that I was going to do Strictly 2017. It happened. She said it in 2015. She goes, 2 more years, you're going to do Strictly. It happened. She said to me, I'm going to work with Craig River-Horwood before that. It happened on Sister Act. He directed and choreographed. Everything my mum always said to me came to fruition. So I'm putting it out there.
So we should book our ticket.
Book a ticket soon.
Yes.
I'll go. I'm going to go to Broadway. I'm going to go watch it first.
Right.
But my agent actually flew over to go watch it for me because I had no time to do it. So he flew over and he said it's the right role for me.
Okay.
So,
well, there we go.
So
it's a done deal.
When he says that, I go, well, you've done your job, mate. Now the next job is to get me in it.
It's a done deal. Let's assume there might be a pause between that and the end of this and obviously playing Donna Summer.
Yes.
If you were to go on your perfect holiday, you might have a holiday after this. Who knows? You've got a week.
Doing another show, which we're announcing this. I'm doing another show soon.
Okay.
Straight after this.
Right. Okay, fine.
It's busy, babe. It's busy.
Of course you're not stopping.
I'm going to take a week off.
Why are you to stop? In your week? Well, you haven't got time. You probably need...
I've got to learn a script again.
Where would you go? Were you to ever have a holiday?
Now, if I get an opportunity to go on holiday, I'd go back to Jamaica because that's where I'm from.
Okay.
I just want to go to Jamaica and that's what I'm hopefully going to plan. At least if it's just 5 days. I said it to my dad last week. I was like, Dad, me and you, let's just both of us go together.
It's not that long a flight, is it?
Father.
What is it, eight hours or something?
No, 9 hours. It's near Miami, so it's not far.
Yeah, it's not far.
And I just said, even if it's 5 days, let's just go sit and chill and eat some chicken and have a red stripe, and then I'll come home. Yeah. So that's the plan. He's already now booked his flight.
Okay.
So he's waiting on me, but I can never book until last minute, so...
Honestly, as I keep saying, your energy is just phenomenal.
Oh, thank you.
You've made me feel more lively
than
I did when I walked in.
Yes, good. So, that makes me feel good. Good.
The cupcakes that you still haven't touched them.
Oh, no.
I believe you, Jess,
coffee and a cake. It's happening.
They're only mini ones. They're just two bites
perfect.
And they're done.
Yeah, it's perfect.
They're gone.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you for your time today. Thank you.
That was Alexandra Burke, and that's the end of my summer podcast season. We'll be back in the autumn with lots more treats for you.